If I say there is hope for complete recovery for people with a concussion, you say
100%.
And in fact, you didn't only feel it, you were outside the regular medical system because they were not interested in you.
Neuroplasticity actually opens you up to the world, makes it possible to develop, make it possible to rehabilitate.
Traumatic brain injury has been caused a silent epidemic for that reason, because it consists of changes and disabilities that are not obvious to other people.
If, as a physician, you felt you had nothing to offer a patient, then I think ethically you need to say, I don't think there's anything I can offer you. Maybe you should see Dr. M.
Historically, we have called these things mild traumatic brain injuries, which implies that, well, it may be a brain injury, but it's not going to have great consequence, right? And that's frankly not true.
Welcome to Concussion Stories, a Life Yana podcast series filled with hope. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone in your post-concussion recovery journey. My name is Melanie, and I spent 6.5 years learning, experimenting, and training in order to find a way to heal myself from post-concussion syndrome. After making a full recovery by the end of 2018, I embarked on this mission to make the recovery journey easier for you. This is why I started this podcast, wrote detailed blog posts and downloadable guides, offer coaching, and also the course that I wish I had back when I was recovering, teaching you everything that I needed to know in order to make my recovery happen. On Concussion Stories, we dig deep while discussing hopeful stories of recovery, as well as the hard stuff in the messy middle. Let's dive right in. Welcome to the second of 4 episodes with Professor Ali Tenavuo. He is a professor of neurotraumatology at the University of Turku in Finland, and most of all, an advocate for patients experiencing post-concussion symptoms. In this episode, we discuss sport concussion protocols, which will give you hands-on information about how to approach getting back to your normal activities, and how to and how not to approach rest after a concussion. Let's get started.
How do you feel about protocols? Well, there's a big gap between what protocols are now and what we need, right? Do you feel the same
too? Yes and no. So I think that this traditional medicine traditional normal healthcare system would have a lot of learned from sports medicine, because in many sports there are lots of athletes who suffer concussions, American football, ice hockey, soccer, many other sports where concussions are prevalent, and within sports they have already for a long time had very clear cut protocols how to diagnose these injuries, how to make these athletes to recover, and how to get them to return to play. So in sports medicine they have a clear stepwise protocol where you have to, of course, they try to get these athletes back to game as soon as possible, but because research and also experience has clearly shown that if an athlete returns to play prematurely, when he or she is still symptomatic, there's a high risk for new injuries, and there is also high risk for prolonged recovery. Yeah. And therefore, these in sports, you have a clear protocol that you have to go step by step to recover, so that you at first you have to be symptom free in your normal daily life. Then you can start training if the symptoms symptoms appear again when you start training, then you have to continue this normal daily life, and they have a special rehabilitation program also. Then if you manage training without symptoms, then you can start in a way rehearsal games and in a way heighten the level of training, and if you still are okay, then you can slowly return to play. But every step needs a certain period to follow that everything is okay. That kind of protocols we should have also in non-athletes, in normal clinics, because I think that in many cases we have caused problems for the patients, so that they have had, for example, they have had to return to work, although mm-hmm. they are still clearly symptomatic, which means that their brains do not have the energy to recover because they have to use their energy to do the work.
Yeah, I believe we, not to confuse our listeners, so we already know that bed rest isn't what you should
no.
do. Drunk concussion.
No.
But what's most important is to keep your activity levels up a bit. So go for a walk or try and cook something in a clean, isolated environment, like not having the radio on and having a conversation at the same time. But after that, take rest again. And rest doesn't mean like binge watch Netflix or something, but rest means
no.
Deep breathing, for example. And then after you feel like your symptoms subside, you can take on something else again. And this is also the way that I used in order to bring the end.
Yeah, actually our modern world is so much connected, everything is happening on screen, as for example this.
This also,
but that's not a good way for or good thing for your recovering brain, because that has also been shown, for example, in children's concussion, that if there was a randomized trial where the other group of patients, children with concussion, they were allowed to use screen time, mm-hmm. and the other group was not. And those who were allowed to use screen, they had to clearly longer lasting symptoms than those who were not allowed. So that always, if we do something with screen, whether to watch TV or use internet or our phones, so that that is actually quite demanding for our brains. So there is too much information to handle.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. This is so interesting. And you refer to one research paper right now, but still, this information we can use as patients. Before other researchers have told me, or doctors have told me, like, you are just one who has recovered. You have used research for your recovery that isn't peer reviewed yet and hasn't been translated into protocol. So you cannot use it because it's not fully proven yet. But if as a patient, you're in the middle of everything, you will not want to use everything that's out there, because there are a lot. We also talked about it, right? Over email, there are a lot of people trying to earn money from people who are desperate. But if you turn to science and you find one paper that says A and another says A, well, you don't need 15, but after two, you can feel like, well, if there's smoke, there might be a fire and I can try this. So, for example, screen, and combine this with common knowledge, right? We know that it's quite intensive to be on screens. That's something that really might help people recover faster if they try to limit that, especially in their breaks.
Yeah, and of course we have to remember that although many patients have similar symptoms, every patient is different. So that's of course one major problem in developing any efficient interventions for TBI, because mm-hmm. every patient is different. Nobody has a similar brain injury as someone else. And therefore, you cannot expect that there would be a treatment that would help everybody. And there are certainly treatments that help some people, and for somebody else, it's totally ineffective because they have a different type of injury and different type of problem.
Yes, yes. I believe that if for example, my course that I... in which I just translate what I did and what helped me and what not, and people can choose if, well, at least it's out there and they can choose if it would help them too. It's focused mainly on we are human, and there are certain things that we as humans and our brains, if they are injured, need, and things that harm us. And those are similar, right? Our biology is the same.
Yeah.
Our injuries, the way they present themselves, our symptoms, our situations, our lives are different. And it needs to, and that's what I build into the course as well, it needs to leave room for everybody individually to adapt that. Yeah. But,
Of course, there are things that are, you know, I would say almost universally harmful for people and for brains that and things that are beneficial, for example, being in nature and that kind of which are probably some kind of evolutionary base.
Exactly. Yes.
Now I would love to hear from you. What do you take away from this episode? Is there something that you can apply to your life right away? Head on over to lifejana.com and leave your comment now. And if you want to hear and read more concussion stories, actionable steps, and inspiration, be sure to subscribe to the LifeJana email list while you're there so that you never miss out on new materials we constantly make for you. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/concussionstories. Thank you for listening to this Concussion Stories episode by LifeJana. May you be well, and may you be happy.